It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi, brought to you by Vermont Victory Greenhouses and Gardener Supply. Hello, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
Well, Charlie, for years, my mom and dad always kept like a really big hydrangea bush growing in front of the house. And my mom always cut some of the flowers, dried them, and then displayed them throughout the year, like made different arrangements and things. Can you talk more about how we can dry hydrangeas? They've been doing so well in this like super wet summer we've had.
Yes, they've really liked all this rain. So the blue hydrangeas, the pink hydrangeas, and now the ones that started out white and are kind of turning that bronzy color now, all of them have done really well. They continue to bloom, continue to grow. So one thing you could do is, of course, cut them and bring them in as a cut flower. This is a little more difficult with the hydrangeas, especially the blue and the pink ones, because if you pick them with the peak of color, when they're really that kind of light blue color or that light pink color, the stems are very floppy. And when you cut them, there's a lot of sap in that stem, and that will block the water flow in the vase going up into the flower, so that's why they wilt really quickly. What you need to do is recut them underwater and maybe even put some little slits on the sides of the stem. What that'll do is allow that sap that's under there to kind of ooze out a little bit, and it'll allow the passage of water. Now, drying them is much easier, but you've got to be patient. That's the key. So for the panicle hydrangeas, the ones that start out white, turn bronze, really easy. Once they're bronze, they're pretty much dried on the plant. You can just cut them, bring them inside like your mom probably did, and use them for arrangements all the time. If you want to dry the blue ones, though, or some of those pink ones, you got to let them age. If the petals are papery, that means they're probably dried and ready to cut. Then you can just cut them like you would any other one, put them in a vase and use them. You don't have to dry them. You don't have to give them water or any of that stuff. So knowing what stage your hydrangea flower is in is going to help you know how you can preserve it the best.
Okay, well, question time. W. Alexander has some thoughts on jumping worms. We talked about that in a recent episode. And W. Alexander writes, imagine if we started eradicating all earthworms because they were quote-unquote invasive. Popular press stories on these new arrivals are long on the jumping and Asian aspects, but never really explain why they won't fit in eventually as beneficially as European earthworms have.
The things with the Asian jumping worms is that they eat a lot more organic material than a regular European worm, and they reproduce faster, so they can really spread and take over an area. What they leave behind is this coffee ground kind of textured soil, which is not that great for plants. It dries out really fast, not really high in nutrients, not the same as a European earthworm. So there are some reasons to be concerned. You bring up a good point about all earthworms are invasive. They were, after the last ice age, they all have come here. But this one in particular is causing a lot of environmental destruction, and so that's why there's a lot of concern about it.
Okay, another earthworm question here. This is from June, and June writes, do you know, or is there someone I can contact to ask if tea tree can work? And I think June is referencing the Joseph Gores from UVM Extension's work on jumping worms.
Right. So there's been a lot of research been done. And actually, if you go to the All Things Gardening webpage, we have a new link up there from the University of Wisconsin. And they've done some great research on it, including with tea tree meal, not the extract, but tea tree meal, which is an organic fertilizer. But it also seems to have an effect on the Asian jumping worms. They're still experimenting, so it's not definite yet. And if you put down 6 to 12 pounds per 1,000 square feet, it could help. So I do have to make a little correction from the last time we were talking about jumping worms. I talked about identifying them by that band that goes around them, the clitellum. If it's flat right on the surface, then it's an Asian jumping worm. If it's raised off the surface a little bit, then it's a European one. So just a little correction there.
If you have big feelings about jumping worms as well or other gardening questions, you can send them to us, vermontpublic.org, and search for All Things Gardening and listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.